Okay.
Cheese board.
Okay. God, yes. My dick just twitched. Okay. Harry's house. Okay. Welcome to episodes. <Where's->
The cold open. Welcome to the bonus episode of Audio Face. We're giving to you this fine established, well established podcast. We're in Reverend Podcast about music, news, and culture that mostly matters. I'm Sean, and that's Dan. We're giving you this fine three albums. We got Harry Styles, Harry House. We have Dance Fever by Florence the Machine and Palaces by Flume. One of these is not like the other. And I can't wait to get to that. But we're doing this because it's been 5 years of this damn podcast. And sometimes we enjoy it from time to time when Dan lets me have my mandatory break. But we're going to be off for the next, next week will be good, but we'll be off in a little bit for our sabbatical in early June. So we're giving this to you for you guys now and everything. So even if you're a member on the Sika 23 Network or you're a free organic human, free range, free of Jeff Bezos and stuff, then you get this too. So, yeah. Why not? Just music. No stories. Straight music. Fuck it. My podcast.
Yeah. Free members. Free episode that everyone can get. Usually this is what the members only episodes are like. So if you want to become a member and get more of this like randomness, become a member. Support us as little as $5 a month. Join.syndicate23.co.
Five bones.
Anyways. Coffee is way more expensive than $5 a month at this point. Especially if you're a coffee addict. I bought 2 yerba mates this week. That's more than a Syndicate 23 membership. I might get more. Anyway, so Harry's House by Harry Styles. 13 songs, 42 minutes too long. And what did you think about this?
So, it's interesting because, you know, we had Fine Line in 2019, which was just like absurd pop that I really don't like. You had, you know, songs that blew up, like Watermelon Sugar, everybody's heard, and a couple other tracks. I think like Adore You and Falling as well really blew up, and you know, you hear it everywhere, and it was okay. But you know, as from the members of One Direction, I think he was the most overrated. I actually don't mind Harry's House. I like how he expanded more into electronic stuff with it, and did some stuff that was a little bit more, I could say, like understated in a way, but still like definitely really pop, but nothing that would offend me in any ways. Nothing that was like spectacular about it, but nothing that was just overtly pop like and Fine Line that I really didn't like. So it's interesting because he gets to be a little bit more introspective, a little bit more of like, hey, like obviously everybody has their COVID shit, blah blah blah, but for him it was more of, I didn't realize how much I've been touring because of One Direction and his solo career, and how much he's missed. He's, you know, a couple of tracks talking about missing people's birthdays, missing relatives, things here or there, and then actually spending time with them and spending a lot of time with people who he hasn't been able to spend a lot of time, and saying, I don't want to do that now. I don't want to miss this anymore, which I think is actually a really cool introspective for a giant pop star, of being a little bit more introspective of, you know, family's important to me in this way. I don't want to just work all the time. I don't want to just pump it out because it's not worth it, which more power to him in that regard. But then there's still some stuff of, you know, your normal Harry Styles silliness and things that I'm not too fond of, but it's all right in general, I would say. What did you think? But I will go more into the musicality in a little bit too.
Yeah, there's also the aspect of Harry Styles, his, I guess, choices in how he dresses. He's been seen in like modeling and like more feminine clothing, so
yeah,
to speak.
Super flamboyant stuff.
Yeah, totally fine. I have no problems with it at all.
Maddie Healy does that. Maddie Healy walks out in fucking skirts half the time on stage, so I'm not, I can't say shit. I mean, Tom and Flea walked out in man skirts in the whole entire Adams Repeat store in 2013, so I ain't gonna say shit.
No, it's more just like, it's been kind of like one of those pop culture things that has been abused by the right wing, that has eventually to their whole, they're grooming kids, they're trying to turn them homosexual and stuff like that. That it just like, reminds me of that stuff. But you have songs like As It Was. You have songs like Little Freak. You hide the body, all that yoga gave you. Red wine and a ginger ale. But you would make fun of me for sure. I was thinking about who you. Kind of dig into that in a more introspective way, which I actually appreciate it being done in a pop record, because the counterbalance to all those things is that if it were true that teachers groom kids into their sexuality, then we wouldn't be there wouldn't be gay kids, because we would have a bunch of straight teachers and then we'd have all straight kids. But that doesn't happen, because gay kids still exist, and lesbian kids still exist, and bisexual kids still exist, and kids all over the gender spectrum exist. And a lot of times, middle and high school and the more, you know, accepting places, and definitely in college, people are able to explore their gender identities more. And it may not be exactly what they land on, but for a lot of people, that is how they get to realize themselves in a much happier way. And to see that represented in all forms of media is important, because especially right now, you have a whole group of people, like a massive group of people, who are becoming very violent in society right now, who are trying to push the existence of different expressions of gender or sexuality, or fuck, it doesn't even have to be that deep. Just like wanting to wear different clothes. Like,
you just want to be fluid, like just wear colorful shit, different things. He's into that stuff, which...
That stuff is being like attacked and singled out. Whereas, this is more like, as me, someone who personally doesn't do those things, but like, as you know, I've many friends who are girls, I've like tried on their clothes before, like when I'm with them for fun, because like fucking whatever. Counterpoint: look at all the gay shit men do when they're alone. So like, there's like, that's like, well.
Madison, what's his face?
Yeah, Madison Cawthorn. And like that stuff, which I believe is like a lot more iffy. Everyone's like, yeah, just bros being bros. Just locker room talk, bro. What are you talking about? So like, a lot of people catching themselves in 4K here. But that is to say that, going into this really quickly, Music for Sushi Restaurant, it's a fine opener. It's this sort of like, you know, basic sort of pop love song kind of deal. I'm sure it has those swoony aspects to it. But like I said, there are certain songs in here that like I think have more,
more substance.
Yeah.
And for him as a giant pop artist, you know, to go more introspective, like Late Night Talking, the second track, I like it because this is pop that I like. I can get you off my mind. I've never been a fan of change. I'd follow you to any place. If it's Hollywood or Bishop's Gate, I'm coming too. If you're feeling down, it's, you know, your natural like things that you can groove to, everybody can listen to it, but it actually has a lot of decent themes to it when you listen to the lyrics of it, and the production isn't overdone. It's a little dancey, and it's definitely different from stuff that he has done before. So at that point, I'm like, you know what? I'll give him the benefit of the doubt with that. I don't mind that stuff. So I like to see the growth of him as an artist and as a person within this record too. And, you know, more on if the stuff that you're talking about too. But to see someone who, you know, has all this fame, all of this stardom and whatnot, to, you know, be honest with himself as a person to say, hey, like, there's all these things that are prevalent to me that I want to get out there to people so they can understand, but also of, you know, I'm also human too, like I have these faults, I have these things that I'm still figuring out of myself that I want to work on, and I don't necessarily want to just pump out music all the time. I don't necessarily want to always be on tour. I don't want to always do that just to make money. It's about the art, and it's now about, you know, not enslaving myself to the industry as it is. And I think that's actually really cool for a pop artist to go into that stuff of, you know, I don't want to necessarily do this forever. I don't want to, you know, have to always tour. I want to be able to have a life and be a person, be a human as well as someone who just happens to be a famous pop star. So I think that's really cool to hear that, because a lot of other pop stars just constantly, I mean, I'm looking at you, Drake, where you're just constantly popping out records, constantly popping out things because you think you're the greatest person on earth or whatnot, or you're just so insecure about being a Toronto Maple Leaf fan that you're just, you're not able to be introspective. You're not able to really stop, slow down, and figure out exactly who you want to be and what you want to do. You just keep pumping out music and all that. And a lot of that substance isn't necessarily good, because quality or quantity doesn't correlate to quality all the time. So, and you get that, like, for that album, you have Keep Driving, Satellite, Boyfriends, the second to last song.
Boyfriends, are they just pretending? They don't tell you where it's heading. And you know the...
Cheeseboard.
Okay, gosh, yes. My dick just twitched. Okay, Harry's house. Okay. Welcome to episode...
The cold open. Welcome to the bonus episode of Audio Face. We're giving to you this fine established, well-established podcast. We're an irreverent podcast about music, news, and culture that mostly matters. I'm Sean, and that's Dan. We're giving you this fine three albums. We got Harry Styles, Harry House. We have Dance Fever by Florence the Machine and Palaces by Flume. One of these is not like the other. And I can't wait to get to that. But we're doing this because it's been 5 years of this damn podcast. And sometimes we enjoy it from time to time when Dan lets me have my mandatory break. But we're going to be off for the next, next week will be good, but we'll be off in a little bit for our sabbatical in early June. So we're giving this to you for you guys now and everything. So even if you're a member on the Sika 23 Network or you're a free organic human, free range, free of Jeff Bezos and stuff, then you get this too. So, yeah. Why not? Just music. No stories. Straight music. Fuck it. My podcast.
Yeah. Free members. Free episode that everyone can get. Usually this is what the members only episodes are like. So if you want to become a member and get more of this like randomness, become a member. Support us as little as $5 a month. Join.syndicate23.co.
Five bones.
Anyways, coffee is way more expensive than $5 a month at this point, especially if you're a coffee addict. I bought 2 yerba mates this week. That's more than a Syndicate 23 membership. I might get more. Anyway, so Harry's House by Harry Styles. 13 songs, 42 minutes too long. And I what did you think about this?
So
games never ending. You stay.
I get these slower kind of introspective tracks too, and I don't mind it a lot. So I think as a overall project, it's a step in the right direction for Harry Styles for sure, especially from Fine Line and his self-titled record, I believe, in 2017 as well. So if you get, you know, his giant fan base that he has, if you get them to listen to this and then be able to branch out into different genres and different things, and even to branch out their own thoughts and their own, you know, prejudices and stuff, the more power to them. Because I'll always give you credit for that.
Definitely. Arbitrary scale. This week, we're going to continue using the years of Audio Face, since this is the 5-year anniversary. And we usually carry out arbitrary scales in the bonus episodes. Because we can barely come up with them as is. This week, it'll be... I'm going to give this the 2019.
I was going to say, it's a solid 2019. 2019 had... He had some good records. He had Jai Paul make a random return. He had Tom York's Anima. He had a couple other cool things in there as well. But it was a decent year. But it wasn't anything, like, spectacular. It wasn't a 2018. You know, off the feet of 2018, when maybe like 19, like, it can't get better than that. 2022 can be, but more on that come January.
Next up, you're hosting.
Next up, we have Dance Fever by Florence the Machine. 14 songs, 47 minutes long. Also, another thing on the Apple Music shit, there's an Apple Music version of Dance Fever as well, and it has, I think, one extra track and some, like, videos and stuff with some of the tracks, so a little bit different, but I'll just do the Spotify version, the normal version, because not everybody has Tim Cook's software, so some of us are stuck with it because
we fly shit. Apple Music on Android, garbage experience.
Interesting, because, you know, we had Fine Line in 2019, which was just, like, absurd pop that I really don't like. You had, you know, songs that blew up, like Watermelon Sugar, everybody's heard, and a couple other tracks, I think, like, Adore You and Falling as well, really blew up, and, you know, you hear it everywhere, and it was okay. But, you know, as from the members of One Direction, I think he was the most overrated. I actually don't mind Harry's House. I like how he expanded more into electronic stuff with it and did some stuff that was a little bit more, I could say, like, understated in a way, but still, like, definitely really pop, but nothing that would offend me in any ways. Nothing that was, like, spectacular about it, but nothing that was just overtly pop, like, and Fine Line that I really didn't like. So it's interesting because he gets to be a little bit more introspective, a little bit more of like, hey, like, obviously everybody has their COVID shit, blah, blah, blah. But for him, it was more of, I didn't realize how much I've been touring because of One Direction and his solo career and how much he's missed. He's, you know, a couple of tracks talking about missing people's birthdays, missing relatives, things here or there, and then actually spending time with them and spending a lot of time with people who he hasn't been able to spend a lot of time and saying, I don't want to do that now. I don't want to miss this anymore, which I think is actually a really cool introspective for a giant pop star of being a little bit more introspective of, you know, family's important to me in this way. I don't want to just work all the time. I don't want to just pump it out because it's not worth it, which more power to him in that regard. But then there's still some stuff of, you know, your normal Harry Styles silliness and things that I'm not too fond of, but it's all right in general, I would say. What did you think? But I will go more into the musicality in a little bit too.
Yeah, there's also the aspect of Harry Styles, his I guess choices in how he dresses. He's been seen in like modeling and like more feminine clothing, so
yeah,
to speak.
Super flamboyant stuff.
Yeah, totally fine. I have no problems with it at all.
Maddie Healy does that. Maddie Healy walks out in fucking skirts half the time on stage, so I can't say shit. I mean, Tom and Flea walked out in man skirts in the whole entire Adams Repeat store in 2013, so I ain't gonna say shit.
No, it's more just like it's been kind of like one of those pop culture things that has been abused by the right wing that has eventually led to their grooming kids. They're trying to turn them homosexual and stuff like that. That it just like reminds me of that stuff. But you have songs like As It Was. You have songs like Little Freak. You hide the body, all that yoga gave you. Red wine and a ginger ale. But you would make fun of me for sure. Kind of dig into that in a more introspective way, which I actually appreciate it being done in a pop record, because the counterbalance to all those things is that if it were true that teachers groom kids into their sexuality, then there wouldn't be gay kids, because we would have a bunch of straight teachers and then we'd have all straight kids. But that doesn't happen because gay kids still exist and lesbian kids still exist and bisexual kids still exist and kids all over the gender spectrum exist. And a lot of times middle and high school and the more, you know, accepting places, and definitely in college, people are able to explore their gender identities more. And it may not be exactly what they land on, but for a lot of people, that is how they get to realize themselves in a much happier way. And to see that represented in all forms of media is important, because especially right now you have a whole.
It really is. But anyways, Florence and the Machine, you know, they've been a band for quite some time. You know, they English band that they blew up with their debut record of Lunds in 2009. We did review their last record, which was
Highest Hope, right?
Highest Hope, I believe. It was in 2018. Yeah, 2018. There you go. And I liked that record. There was some stuff I thought that could be better and whatnot, but overall, I did like it. They do take their time between records, which I do enjoy. And I think Dance Fever is an accumulation of all the stuff that they have released in the past about 10 years or so, put into a record. So you have a lot of things that sound like Lunds, but you have a lot of things that'll sound like Highest Hope and some other things, and you'll get a lot of almost like a compilation record. But I'm trying not to make it sound in a bad way, but they really refined their sound to now be able to say, hey, like, this, what does a Florence and the Machine record sound like? Dance Fever is a good one to go to. Like, this is what they sound like. They, you know, example, Florence's voice, fucking one of my favorite voices in the music industry. Absolutely gorgeous. Still hits. Keen is like the prevalent song of what does Florence and the Machine sound like. You give them to Keen. Beautiful. I really love the way they layer the vocals on it, the really understated drums and stuff in the background until it crescendos and explodes in this beautiful track towards the end. Really, really
group of people, like a massive group of people who are becoming very violent in society right now, who are trying to push the existence of different expressions of gender or sexuality, or fuck, it doesn't even have to be that deep. Just like want to wear different clothes. Like,
you just want to be fluid, like just wear colorful shit, different things. Into that stuff, which.
That stuff is being like attacked and singled out. Whereas this is more like, as me, someone who personally doesn't do those things, but like, as you know, I have many friends who are girls, have like tried on their clothes before, like when I'm with them for fun, because like fucking whatever. Counterpoint, look at all the gay shit men do when they're alone. So like there's like that's like, well,
Madison, what's his face,
Madison Cawthorn, and like that Cawthorn stuff, which I believe is like a lot more iffy. Everyone's like, yeah, just bros being bros, just locker room talk, bro, what are you talking about? So like a lot of people catching themselves in 4K here, but that is to say that going into this really quickly, Music for Sushi Restaurant, it's a fine opener. It's this sort of like, you know, basic sort of pop love song kind of deal. I'm sure it has those swoony aspects to it. But like I said, there are certain songs in here that like I think have more,
more substance.
Yeah.
And for him as a giant pop artist, you know, to go more introspective, like about like Late Night Talking, the second track, I like it because this is pop that I like. I can get you off my mind. Never been a fan of change, but I'd follow you to any place. If it's Hollywood or Bishopsgate, I'm coming too. If you're feeling down, it's, you know, your natural like things that you can groove to, everybody can listen to it, but it actually has a lot of decent themes to it when you listen to the lyrics of it. And the production isn't overdone. It's a little dancey, and it's definitely different from stuff that he has done before. Enjoy that. But they actually experiment a little bit. They have some different sounding stuff. Like, you get with Free, it's like this upbeat, almost electronic sounding stuff, but have like a violin in the background and some other things. And it's a little different compared to some of their other stuff, but it's still like, this is Florence and the Machine. So for a group who has been together for a long time, I'm glad that they take their time between records and it shows. And I really enjoyed this listen. I want to listen to this more, actually, to really get into it. I only got one and a half listens through. So I want to get like 4 or 5 listens to really, really get my full opinion on it. But, you know, I only have 3 days. It came out Friday. But I think this is such a step in the right direction for them. I love the the third track. I can never say Choreomania.
You had it perfectly.
Holy shit, Sean said something right for once.
Yeah,
I like it because
amazing.
Yeah, right. It's a first. I really like the electronicas they bring on this, like the really cool bass line in the middle. It's like. Messing with the tone on the bass and popping it up, and then again, it's kind of crescendoing a little bit, but it's still like a slow build into it, which I really like.
It reminds me of the synth that was kind of added to alternative music in the mid to late 2000s, kind of like in Gorilla's Demon days, where it wasn't like the point where it became so much of its own instrument that it became like, M83, it was just a major part of the sound. But it's just complimenting it. It feels like it's doing that, but now it's almost like a folk song.
Exactly. So at that point, I'm like, you know what? I'll give him the benefit of the doubt with that. I don't mind that stuff. So I like to see the growth of him as an artist and as a person within this record, too. And, you know, more on if the stuff that you're talking about, too. But to see someone who, you know, has all this fame, all of this stardom and whatnot, to, you know, be honest with himself as a person to say, hey, like, there's all these things that are prevalent to me that I want to get out there to people so they can understand. But also, of, you know, I'm also human too. Like, I have these faults. I have these things that I'm still figuring out of myself that I want to work on. And I don't necessarily want to just pump out music all the time. I don't necessarily want to always be on tour. I don't want to always do that just to make money. It's about the art, and it's now about, you know, not enslaving myself to the industry as it is. And I think that's actually really cool for a pop artist to go into that stuff of, you know, I don't want to necessarily do this forever. I don't want to, you know, have to always tour. I want to be able to have a life and be a person, be a human, as well as someone who just happens to be a famous pop star. So I think that's really cool to hear that, because a lot of other pop stars just constantly, I mean, I'm looking at you, Drake, where you're just constantly popping out records, constantly popping out things because you think you're the greatest person on earth or whatnot, or you're just so insecure about being a Toronto Maple Leaf fan that you're not able to be introspective. You're not able to really stop, slow down, and figure out exactly who you want to be and what you want to do. You just keep pumping out music and all that. And a lot of that substance isn't necessarily good, because quality or quantity doesn't correlate to quality all the time. So, and you get that, like, towards the end of the album, you have Keep Driving, Satellite, Boyfriends, the second to last song.
Boyfriends, are they just pretending? They don't tell you where it's heading. And you know the-
and it's one of the cooler things I've heard lately. And it's like, we're not sure my, like, oh, Americana, like, to folk, like, to the, like, further stage thing. Not sure if that's going to happen. But I think this is one of those cases where you blend those a little bit together with an artist who really knows what they're doing in that sense, and you get stuff that sounds really beautiful.
Yeah, and you do. And after those first three tracks, you get Back in Town, which slows it down a little bit. And I'm glad this is the day of, like, track placements. I really like the way that they all together put the record together, because it picks up, it slows down, it picks up, it slows down. So you're not left wanting more. You're not left, like, getting bored. There's not really throwaway tracks in this, even though there's a longer record with 14 songs. But because some of them are short and whatnot, you know, I don't think there's maybe only one or two songs that go over 4 minutes, that you can really get through this and just listen to it straight down, and it flows. I really like that. It slows down a little bit with Back in Town, Girls Against God. I actually really like that track. It's really, really prevalent. And then Dream Girl Evil is so really funny, like, the way it is. Just, like, set it back and forth, but that picks it up right there. But again, I love the way that they add the synths along with almost like an alternative rock song with that. So you get a lot of Americana, a lot of folk, a lot of alt rock in here. But again, they still go together. One song doesn't necessarily pull too much from one genre than the other because they still all go well together. So pulling on a bunch of sounds that, you know, we like and grew up with in the late aughts and early 2010s that I think they really refined with this. And I think other bands have tried but never got it right because they just kind of copied the sound. You know, they copied the sound of Jai Paul, they copied the sound of M83. Florence the Machine got that sound and brought it into Americana and folk, which no one does. It's very different.
Games never ending. You stay.
I get these slower kind of introspective tracks too, and I don't mind it a lot. So I think as a overall project, it's a step in the right direction for Harry Styles for sure, especially from Fine Line and his self-titled record, I believe, in 2017 as well. So if you get, you know, his giant fan base that he has, if you get them to listen to this and then be able to branch out into different genres and different things and even to branch out their own thoughts and their own, you know, prejudices and stuff, the more power to them. Because I'm always give you credit for that.
Definitely. Arbitrary scale. This week, we're going to continue using the Years of Audio Face, since this is the 5-year anniversary. And we usually carry out arbitrary scales in the bonus episodes, because we can barely come up with them as is. This week, it'll be... I'm going to give this the 2019.
It's a solid 2019. 2019 had... You had some good records. You had Jai Paul make a random return. You had Tom York's Anima. You had a couple other cool things in there as well. But it was a decent year. But it wasn't anything, like, spectacular. It wasn't a 2018. You know, off the feet of 2018, when maybe like 19, like, it can't get better than that. 2022 can be, but more on that come January.
Next up, you're hosting.
Yeah, next up we have Dance Fever by Florence the Machine. 14 songs, 47 minutes long. Also, another thing on the Apple Music shit, there's an Apple Music version of Dance Fever as well, and it has, I think, one extra track and some, like, videos and stuff with some of the tracks, so a little bit different, but I'll just do the Spotify version, the normal version, because not everybody has Tim Cook software, so some of us are stuck with it because shit.
Apple Music on Android, garbage experience.
Unique, and I'm actually excited to see how the hell they do that live, because I've seen, like, Florence Machine live and stuff. I've heard how they sound live, and it's very folksy, it's Americana, it's flowy, you know. Florence is really dancing around the stage on a carpet barefoot and shit, and fairies in the air and everything, and it's you could picture it with how they release records. But this one, I'm like, how are they going to do half of these tracks? Because it's very different in that way. But then you got, like, in the middle of the record, you have your Prayer Factor, Cassandra, fantastic track, where you get more of your tried and true Florence and the Machine. And then you get Heaven and Is Here, Daffodil, My Love too, which are great tracks.
My Love is like really poppy but also really dancey. It's kind of like an amazing pivot for Florence and the Machine.
Yep.
That they stick the landing on very, very well. I was really surprised. Like, this, did Florence and the Machine make a pop track? Like, it was really very, very good.
And it fits within the record too. Like, if you listen to Keen and then Missing to My Love and that's all you have, you're like, what the hell is this record? But if you have all that space in between all those tracks, interlude tracks and stuff together, it fits. It fits the theme. It fits the mood. Again, this is why I like to say this is the most complete record I think they've done, the most complete project. They've really combined all of the ideas, all the sounds that they have done or that they've experimented with for 10 plus years and put it into a record that is that's fantastic. Love is really good. I like how it's the only thing I hate is just the snap thing, but you know, I will snap call flat, anybody out who fucking does that.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like it. Overall, I would give it on the arbitrary scale a
2017.
That's good. I was either gonna give it a 2017 or a 2018. I'm not gonna say it's 2018 because there's still some like parts where I go, you know, like whatever.
Because with this album needs to marinate there for you, bud. This album needs to marinate for me. It's one of those where there's a lot of different sounds, and that again, as I said earlier, I want to have 5-6 listens to this. So, you know, towards the end of the record, because this is on my short list for, you know, alt/Americana record of the year, whatever categories we make for Audio Face, because we're always changing our shit, because why not? It's definitely going to be on my short list for that, and the more and more I listen to it, the more my opinions will develop. But for the first, you know, 1.5 listens, I think it's a really good record. I think that, you know, it's nice to see old bands be able to do new stuff. I'm looking at you, Black Keys.
Yeah.
And moving on. Last album I heard of the day, we got Palaces by Flume. 13 songs, 46 minutes long, and holy mother of God, why'd you make me listen to this? This is one of the worst things I have listened. I had to stop. I had a highest building featuring Oklu. Oakland, Cesar Chavez, is the worst song I've heard in the long fucking time on Audio Phase. And I'm glad, because this is 5 years of Audio Phase. I needed some dog shit. I needed some fucking parrot record album thing that if you pop on Apple Music, it really is. But anyways, Florence and the Machine, you know, they've been a band for quite some time. You know, they... English band that they blew up with their debut record of Lunds in 2009. We did review their last record, which was
Highest Hope, right?
Highest Hope, I believe. It was in 2018. Yeah, 2018. There you go. And I liked that record. There was some stuff I thought that could be better and whatnot, but overall, I did like it. They do take their time between records, which I do enjoy. And I think Dance Fever is an accumulation of all the stuff that they have released in the past about 10 years or so, put into a record. So you have a lot of things that sound like Lunds, but you have a lot of things that'll sound like Highest Hope and some other things, and you'll get a lot of almost like a compilation record. But I'm trying not to make it sound in a bad way, but they really refined their sound to now be able to say, hey, like, this, what does a Florence and the Machine record sound like? Dance Fever is a good one to go to. Like, this is what they sound like. They, you know, example, Florence's voice, fucking one of my favorite voices in the music industry. Absolutely gorgeous. Still hits. Keen is like the prevalent song of what does Florence and the Machine sound like. You give them to Keen. Beautiful. I really love the way they layer the vocals on it, the really understated drums and stuff in the background until it crescendos and explodes in this beautiful track towards the end. Really, really, and it's just like flowing rainbow colors and shit. And the parrot's like, why am I here? Prepare! This album's bullshit. And it's pretty bad. And he fucking dare use Damon Albarn and fuck with his vocals so much that it just transformed him and made him make Everyday Robots Part 2. And you want to just gouge your eyes out. Horrible. Why is there electronic music like this? We were having a good fucking run of electronic music on Audio Face in 2022. And then Flume, dumbass, had to come out with Palaces and made me revert and think about, really made me think, what? Oh, shit. I forgot there's really bad electronic music out there again. I really forgot that we had a, he tried to be Sophie, but no one could be Sophie. You can't do it.
Yeah. Flume was a major electronic artist in 2012. I'm scared. There were a lot of major songs that he released that were, you know, major EDM hits, and he then became to represent. I'm scared.
The worst of the worst.
Is this what everyone is like after I say things on Power Report? he came to then represent a trend in electronic music that was this big band kind of
Dylan Francis bullshit thing.
Yeah, over the top, you know, just like kind of all the tropes in electronic music we hate, the hyphy typhy shit, right? This is Flume's attempt to, in his best way, evolve his sound past that annoying like big band stuff and throw in some hyper pop, throw in some glitchy industrial things. And I appreciate the blend of it because there are some people who have, who like the Flume sound for whatever reason and need to like be exposed to like newer things from that. And I think this will help do that and help them branch off into other things as well. Because there are a lot of Flume people who have like understood and know about Sophie and know about.
Enjoy that. But they actually experiment a little bit. They have some different sounding stuff. Like you get with Free, it's like this upbeat, almost electronic sounding stuff, but have like a violin in the background, some other things, and it's a little different compared to some of their other stuff, but it's still like this is Florence and Machine. So for a group who's been together for a long time, I'm glad that they take their time between records and it shows, and I really enjoyed this listen. I want to listen to this more, actually, to really get into it. I only got one solid listen through, one and a half listens through, so I want to get, like, four or five listens to really, really get my full opinion on it. But, you know, I only have 3 days since it came out Friday. But I think this is such a step in the right direction for them. I love the third track. I can never say Choreomania.
You got it perfectly.
Holy shit, Sean said something right for once.
Yeah.
I like it because...
Amazing.
Yeah, right? It's a first. I really like the electronicas they bring on this. Like, the really cool bass line in the middle. It's like... Messing with the tone on the bass and popping it up, and then again, it's kind of crescendoing a little bit, but it's still like a slow build into it, which I really like.
It reminds me of the synth that was kind of added to alternative music in the mid to late 2000s, kind of like in Gorilla's Demon days, where it wasn't like the point where it became so much of its own instrument that it became like, you know, M83. It was just a major part of the sound. But it's just complimenting it. It feels like it's doing that, but now it's almost like a folk song. Because like
exactly
hyper pop and 100 Gecs and all these other different like groups. Yeah. And so they've expanded past this. Like. But like so much of EDM still sounds like 2013 Flume.
Yeah.
When you're at a lot of these festivals. I'm gonna have to actually talk to Kyle, who went to EDC this year, and maybe have him on the show if he's comfortable, or at least like just relay his thoughts about EDC, how EDC was this year. Because it'll be like my Coachella roundup about like how that was, except for EDC, unlike Coachella, is okay. Yes, people are definitely there for the drugs, but people are also definitely there for the music.
People saw the drugs in the pictures, to be fair.
Yeah, but people are definitely into the music. You have there people who are into certain artists and really want to see them, and so I'm very curious to see how that turns out. But yeah, in this, I think there are some songs that are with artists that he's worked with. There's some songs that are like trying to branch out there a little bit. I'd say, I want to say Get You was like okay-ish, because you didn't even get to that point, so it's like hard for you to tell, but like,
I mean, I did. The highest building I had to just, I tried and I sat there in my car and I was like, we're not doing this. I can't do this. Because it's, I give him the benefit of the doubt because I was expecting like Flume Flume and I was like, I'm ready to hate this. But then I got like really bad glitch pop and I was like, I was not expecting that at all from Flume. So I'll give him the benefit of doubt of trying new stuff. But glitch pop is not your route, dude. You do not know what the fuck you are doing because you made it sound unbearable because the way, as someone who's not a big fan of glitch pop, right, but who has slowly come to appreciate it, especially with like Yonzi making his Shiver and a couple other tracks that are glitch poppy, I come to understand it and really like, you've exposed me to 100 Gex and even some of Chuk Chuk Chuk, I can now say, okay, I like some of it. Some of it can be done really well because it's super experimental, it's different, you can do different sounds and different things where it can get very uncomfortable, but it's different and it's in the right mood. It's actually really nice, but
and it's one of the cooler things I've heard lately. And it's like, I'm not, again, we're not sure my like, oh, Americana, like to folk, like to the like further stage thing. Not sure if that's going to happen, but I think this is one of those cases where you blend those a little bit together with an artist who really knows what they're doing in that sense. And you get stuff that sounds really beautiful.
Yeah. And you do. And after those first three tracks, you get Back in Town, which slows it down a little bit. And I'm glad this is the day of like track placements. I really like the way I really like the way that they all together put the record together because it picks up, it slows down, it picks up, it slows down. So you're not left wanting more. You're not left like getting bored. There's not really throwaway tracks in this, even though there's a longer record with 14 songs, but because some of them are short and whatnot, you know, I don't think there's maybe only one or two songs that go over 4 minutes that you can really get through this and just listen to it straight down and it flows. I really like that. And it slows down a little bit with Back in Town, Girls Against God. I actually really like that track. It's really, really prevalent. And then Dream Girl Evil is so really funny, like the way it is. Just like set it back and forth, but that picks it up right there. But again, I love the way that they add the synths along with almost like an alternative rock song with that. So you get a lot of Americana, a lot of folk, a lot of alt rock in here. But again, they still go together. One song doesn't necessarily pull too much from one genre than the other because they still all go well together. So pulling on a bunch of sounds that, you know, we like and grew up with in the late aughts and early 2010s that I think they really refined with this. And I think other bands have tried but never got it right because they just kind of copied the sound. You know, they copied the sound of Jai Paul, they copied the sound of M83. Florence and the Machine got that sound and brought it into Americana and folk, which no one does. It's very different. The way that Flume does it is it's so out of the place that the construction of the songs aren't right. The way, like, example, I'm just going to skip all the way ahead to Palaces with Damon Albarn because I have so many gropes with that fucking track. The way he does the little tropes and interludes, it's off-putting. It's not like I want to listen to this. You get to it and you're like, this makes me uncomfortable, but not in the right way. Because, you know, you get on music that makes you uncomfortable, right? Like, Tom York is a really weird-looking dude and makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but you listen to his music and you're like, yeah, I can get down with this. But you get to this and you're like, this just feels like someone's grabbing a screwdriver and going, yer. And because the way he just does the glitch pop, the way he does a lot of the scratching, a lot of the vocals, even, it's just, it's off-putting and it does not work well together. And again, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because it's not easy to do. Glitch pop is really difficult. The industrial sound and stuff, not many people can put it off and be able to do it right. And yeah, it's brutal.
It shows the talent of those artists who were really doing it, who really did the best. Like, I just choose to memory hole Palaces with Damon Albarn the same way I choose to memory hole the whole Kills with Damon Albarn thing. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that. It's not there.
Even though he stacks more paper and gets more hose than you?
Absolutely.
Just a Men in Black, you know, the flashy thing, just like it's completely gone.
But honestly, it's not on Damon. He just used a vote. He probably said, hey, you want to do a track? Cool. I'll give you a vocal unique. And I'm actually excited to see how the hell they do that live. Because I've seen like Florence Machine live and stuff. I've heard how they sound live. And it's very folksy. It's Americana. It's flowy. You know, Florence is really dancing around the stage on a carpet barefoot and shit and fairies in the air and everything. And it's, you could picture it with how they release records. But this one, I'm like, how are they going to do half of these tracks? Because it's very different in that way. But then you got, like, in the middle of the record, you have your Prayer Factor, Cassandra, fantastic track, where you get more of, like, your tried and true Florence and the Machine. And then you get Heaven Is Here, Daffodil, My Love, too, which are great tracks.
My Love is, like really poppy, but also really dancey. It's kind of like an amazing pivot for Florence and the Machine.
Yep.
That they stick the landing on very, very well. I was really surprised. Like, this, did Florence and the Machine make a pop track? Like, it was really very, very good.
And it fits within the record, too. Like, if you listen to Keen and then listen to My Love and that's all you have, you're like, what the hell is this record? But if you have all that space in between all those tracks, interlude tracks and stuff together, it fits. It fits the theme. It fits the mood. Again, this is why I like to say this is the most complete record I think they've done, the most complete project. They've really combined all of the ideas, all the sounds that they have done or that they've experimented with for 10 plus years and put it into a record that's fantastic. My Love is really good. I like how it's the only thing I hate is just the snap thing, but you know, I will call anybody out who fucking does that. Blah, blah, blah. And then Flume goes and fucks with it and Damon's like,
bro. No, it's on those times Damon just like, it's like holds his arms again and goes, yeah, right, fine. Like he references it in an interview subtly 6 years later, like, you know, I've been asked to do random electronic songs that make absolutely no sense to me with no direction or goal or insight to them whatsoever. And yet I just say yes to them because I just love the spirit of collaborating. Even though I think most of the music made by these artists are just painfully repetitive and made for little children who are completely incapable of making their own records or writing their own records, only capable of co-writing their own records, to just get drunk and party with each other and sniff each other's armpits and do copious amounts of cocaine and ecstasy. Which, I mean, like, for me, was a thing I enjoyed as well, but...
Meanwhile, Jamie's in the background. Let me out! Let me out!
Free Jamie Hewlett.
Free Jamie Hewlett, dude.
I still scope out the Netflix's offices every other day to see if Jamie Hewlett's walking either in or out.
One day we'll get that. Palaces is pretty fucking bad. I'm glad we had it on our 5 years of audio phase because I wanted something brutal. And Highest Building is on my shortlist of worst songs of the year. Worst song on... Oh my god, how long is that title now? Hot Nuked Scorched Earth, or Nuked Hawaii, No Quid Pro Quo, Bleach Injections, Legally Redacted 2022.
God. I think...
We're going to add another one for this year.
Dude, so far it's like Russia and...
Russia, Ukraine, the Toronto Maple Leafs losing in game 7 of the first round for the 5th year in a row.
Okay, so sorry, Russia and Ukraine, women losing reproductive rights, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah, I really like it. Overall, I would give it on the arbitrary scale a... what would you give it?
I think this is a mid to late 2017.
That's good. I was either gonna give it a 2017 or a 2018. I'm not gonna say it's 2018 because there's still some like parts where I go, you know, like whatever.
Because with this album needs to. Marinate there for you, bud. This album needs to marinate for me. It's one of those where there's a lot of different sounds, and that again, as I said earlier, I want to have 5-6 listens to this. So, you know, towards the end of the record, because this is on my short list for, you know, alt slash Americana record of the year, whatever categories we make for Audio Face, because we're always changing our shit, because why not? It's definitely going to be on my short list for that, and the more and more I listen to it, the more my opinions would develop, but for the first, you know, 1.5 listens, I think it's a really good record. I think that, you know, it's nice to see old bands be able to do new stuff. I'm looking at you, Black Keys.
Yeah.
And moving on. Last album I heard of the day, we got Palaces by Flume. 13 songs, 46 minutes long, and holy mother of God, why'd you make me listen to this? This is one of the worst things I have listened. I had to stop. I had a highest building featuring Oklu. Oakland, Cesar Chavez, is the worst song I've heard in the long fucking time on Audio Phase. And I'm glad, because this is 5 years of Audio Phase. I needed some dog shit. I needed some fucking parent record album thing that if you pop on Apple Music.
Saying, which one of these is not like the other?
Hey, you don't fuck with tradition, man. Don't fuck with tradition.
Says the Supreme Court of the United States. I will honestly say,
never mind. I can't say that.
You definitely cannot say that. I will honestly say that Go is like an okay attempt at this. But it's like, it's a throwaway track. There's still these like Flume throwaway tracks that this is that female vocalist in EDM kind of like, you know, shining, rising, doing whatever kind of thing. It doesn't sound great. Production's not good. I'm going to give this the 2021 of Audio Phase.
Oh yeah. This is a 2021, like hands down, hands down.
Yeah. This is like
summer of 2021.
Yes. From dusk till dawn.
This has been Audio Phase.
This has been Audio Phase. We'll be back next week. I hope you enjoyed this bonus. If you want to get more bonuses like this, just straight music episodes, then check us out on Syndicate 23 members content. Join syndicate23.co. You can follow Audio Phase Pod on Twitter, Instagram at Audio Phase Pod. Chuck can be found on Twitter, Instagram at SW Suarez. I can be found on Twitter and Twitch at Dan from the Web, and on TikTok and Instagram at Dan from the Internet. I am going to get smoother with this. Eventually, we'll see you next week, and then we will be out for 2 weeks. But remember to check us out on youtube.com/audiofacepod to see all of our preview stuff that we might be doing, because we can't wait until we're off sabbatical, because there are no breaks in hell. Cheers.
There are no breaks in hell. I got 3 sick nunchucks.
Remember, you're here forever, adulthood.
It's just like flowing rainbow colors and shit, and the parrot's like, why am I here? This album's bullshit. And it's pretty bad, and he fucking dare use Damon Albarn and fuck with his vocals so much that it just transformed him and made him make Everyday Robots Part 2, and you want to just gouge your eyes out. Horrible. Why is there electronic music like this? We were having a good fucking run of electronic music on Audio Phase in 2022. And then Flume, dumbass, had to come out with Palaces and maybe revert and think about, really made me think, what? Oh, shit, I forgot there's really bad electronic music out there again. I really forgot that we had a... He tried to be Sophie, but no one could be Sophie. You can't do it.
Yeah. Flume was a major electronic artist in 2012. I'm scared. There were a lot of major songs that he released that